Hello and welcome to See Nobody Cares, the podcast where we talk about whatever we want because no one's listening anyway. Tonight is episode number 25. I am your host, Ollie Schaus. With me, as always, the amazing, the wonderful, the unflappable Ballgame. How you doing, Ballgame?
Oh, man, I'm riding high, my man. I'm riding high. I just flew in from South Carolina.
And boy, ooh, are your arms tired.
I wasn't going to say it. What a great time it was at the third annual Carolina meetup, the Carolina Wine Mixer. Shout out to Michael McLean and Thomas Ellswick, mostly Michael, for throwing a great, great weekend for everybody. And shout out to Thomas, who is the best Uber driver, Airbnb, car rental service in the South.
Yeah, and he does it with a smile, which is, you know, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't drive all you guys around and smile the whole time.
And I don't know if people have the opportunity to see it, but he threw down the gauntlet in November when I said green bean casserole sucked and it was terrible and maybe the worst thing ever created, an abomination. And he, to his word, made me green bean casserole, and I ate it live on Facebook, and I admitted that I was wrong. It was fantastic. It was delicious. It was unlike any other green bean casserole I had ever seen. I'm not sure it was fair. That thing was loaded up with cheese and bacon. And if you've looked at my body, I obviously have a body built off cheese and bacon. So, but it was phenomenal. But enough about me and enough about green bean casserole. I want to get to our two guests. We have two legends with us today, Ollie. We are lucky to be sitting here tonight with Mr. Gates Counselor and Mr. Tony Cooley. What's up, boys?
Good morning. Or when is this air?
It's in the morning.
All right. Good morning.
What's going on, fellas?
I thought you were
time of day you want.
I thought you were coming in with a good morning, Vietnam.
Oh, should have done that one.
So, Tony's at home in New York, and Gates, you're over at HQ right now.
I was. I'm in my car now. But yes, I sometimes do some work for them in the studio, some construction, either at HQ renovating, or lately I've been doing some set design for them for some stuff. So I was just touching up some things today, dropped off a TV for a shoot they're doing tomorrow. So
is there anything you can't do?
Yeah, you can't renovate my bathroom because I've been trying to get them to do that now for like 2 years, but That's what you can do.
I can't keep to a timeline, that's for sure. And everything I say I'm going to do takes twice as long.
Oh, it's like every other contractor I've ever met in my life.
Yep. I tell my wife all the time, I'll be back in 2 hours. Like, I'll see you in four.
Hey, but know what? You were on time for today's podcast. I was late, but you were on time. So yeah, you did that.
The host couldn't make it on time, but you guys were ready to go.
In my defense, I did download the app at like 2 minutes before you told us this was going to start.
Perfect. Now,
and then I busted your chops for not having the link set.
Now, Tony was saying before you jumped on the pre-show that HQ is a little spooky. Tony, can you kind of elaborate on why it's spooky?
So when Gates said in our little group chat prior to the show starting that he was currently down at HQ, and then he sent that photo of him kissing the picture of me that was on the Pop Insider magazine cover that's hanging up down there. I said to him, I was like, you know what? It's to be down at HQ at 9 o'clock at night when nobody's there and the building is completely empty because it's spooky down there. It is. It's a super old leather factory that these guys work out of. And I got to give it to them. They've certainly built it up there over the years. It was a lot smaller, their spot. Still cozy, but initially you're walking into this super, super old building. The hallways are just nothing but concrete, dimly lit. Kind of feels like you're in like a Saw movie initially. Seriously. And then like you're going to go. I remember my first time going down there, going on the elevator. I had met John at the front door and he walked me in and we go on the elevator and it felt like I was on the elevator at Tower Terror down at Disney that was just going to fall down at any moment.
Wow. However, is it like the old style, like sliding, like cage door?
Yes, super and no.
Small. Like
no, Tony went up the regular elevator, which is small one. But yes, there is the freight elevator, which I use quite a bit. That is, yeah, it's got the gate. You got a slide, you know, two different gates. You got to slide up and down. Yeah, so yeah, pretty spooky. Just like in Tower of Terror, it's that big giant freight elevator. But and you also with Tony, you know, like I don't know what floor, depending on what floor you're on, like the fourth floor, it's actually where we did the
Shining,
my first big shoe for them was a Shining shoe we did down there, but it's like
messed up.
It was completely empty. There's no one on that floor, and it's just been like gutted and looks like it hasn't been touched in 100 years. And it's completely haunted. And there are times where we've been walking around the building looking for spots to shoot, and like a homeless person will, like run out of a corner. That was more in the earlier days, though. They've done a better job changing the codes and keeping people out. And Roosevelt's now almost has the entire sixth floor of the building. So we've renovated. It used to be just like a quarter of the sixth floor, not even.
Right.
And they've grown so much that we've basically, as people move out, they've taken over the spaces and we've blown through walls. And now the photo studio is up there. The original photo studio, Tony will remember, was on the first floor. Now everything's on that sixth floor. It's a pretty cool spot. And it is creepy, especially when I was renovating, because I do a lot of the work at night. I have a day job. And so I'll go in, you know, once HQ is empty, you know, work from like 8 till midnight, sometimes 8 till 1 o'clock if it's like a major renovation. And when they were moving into the second parts of the studios, they're blowing through walls. I was doing a lot of that work. I'd show up like on a weekend and like at 9 o'clock or something in the morning, and there'd be like a bed made, you know, where I was working last night till midnight. I'm like, what the hell? So then I told, and then there was one time John was missing a pair of like expensive shoes or some shit like that. And he's like, he starts asking me because he knew I was there. I'm like, I didn't see anybody. But now they got cameras everywhere and stuff. So it's like, I guess you feel a little safer. But it's also weird because I'm there by myself and I'm like, shit, are they watching me? Fuck, should I be picking my nose right now? Or, you know.
Well, you know, like I said, super creepy. You being there alone. I got to give it to you. Not a so creepy night when nobody there in that building.
I used to work in, I used to live in Boston, and I worked in a town called Hyde Park, and it was the home of the One Westinghouse Plaza, which was one of the original GE buildings from back in the day where they just built factory fans for factories. And it was an old ass warehouse, and they actually renovated one floor and put a school on the fourth floor. The third floor was empty. The second floor was empty. And I would work nights and weekends and be there by myself. And so I kind of get the same vibes. I would hear noises. Toilets would flush on their own, and that would creep me out, just hearing ghosts use the bathroom. I don't know what that's about, but it was the lights were on. You'd come up the elevator, and the lights for the fourth floor were back at that far end of the hallway. So I'd have to walk a corridor about 30 to 40 yards in the dark. No exit sign lights glowing, nothing. And I swear I could hear all the mice in the walls and the entire building.
That sounds like the journey that Gates just took back to his car, actually.
Yeah. But on the pre-show, when Gates jumped in,
just super creepy.
Yeah. When Gates jumped in on the pre-show, like, that place sounds like a horror movie. Like, there's this, like, creepy buzzing sound in the background. It's slightly echoey. Like, it's a, straight up horror movie.
Well, yeah, it's a great spot for photo shoots, though. That's why, you know, you don't got to travel far to find some cool spots.
Well, I'll tell you guys what, too. This weekend in South Carolina, on Saturday, one of the places Mike picked was called Taylor's Mill. Did you go there last year, Ollie?
I did. That was a lot of fun, too.
Great place, but we were driving in and we get to this parking lot and everybody goes, I've seen this before. Where have I seen it? And I'm like, oh, that's simple. This was in RoboCop. This is where RoboCop got blown apart.
No, really?
It looked just like that old warehouse facility.
Detroit?
Yep, that's what it looked like. That's what it looks like. Everybody's like, oh my God, it does. Yeah. But in the middle of it, there's an arcade and an axe throwing place and a bar. So go figure.
Nice.
Now you guys actually work with Roosevelt's. For those that don't know, I mean, you should know who these two gentlemen are. But if you don't, because you're new, both Gates and Tony do a little modeling for Roosevelt's, besides Tony, also Gates doing the construction and handyman work. Can you guys kind of each tell us how you fell into modeling?
Well, when you start, Tony, you want to go?
Yeah, go for it, Gates.
All right. Well, I started working with Roosevelt's. It was actually when they were launching their kids line. They were looking for someone, or not someone, they were looking for youth kids. And I was the old guy they knew that had kids, you know, in that age group. So they asked me if I wanted my kids to come down. So I brought my one son, Rex, down. He did the, like, the Great Hambino youth ads and stuff like that. And so while I was there, they just happened to get in that day the El Mantle shirt and the Woohoo t-shirt. And so it wasn't the same crew at the time. You know, obviously John and Geb were there, but I forget who the photographer was. But he's like, oh, yeah, you're a good looking guy. Why don't you throw the shirt on? And, you know, so I did the El Mantle and I did the Woohoo. And the Woohoo shirt became like the, was it the Woohoo? It was the Savage.
Yeah, it was the Flair Savage. Flair, I remember seeing that ad. Yeah. I remember you had the flag.
Yeah, that ad was
the
their. That ad was
your back showed up. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that ad was one of their biggest campaigns early on. And probably one of their most copied shirts. And so that was, I did that. I thought it was just going to be a one-off. And I think I was on vacation like a couple, 6 months later or something. And John reached out to me about doing the Shining campaign, which is like their first, it was their first real big campaign. They were investing, like, you know, had a film crew come in and they were starting to, you know, invest more money into their campaigns. And they wanted me to do it for them. And so we all know how that drop turned out. But ever since then, you know, I've kind of been a regular model for them. And actually, I'm definitely their longest tenured model. And I've probably done more campaigns other than, you know, the guys that actually work there than anybody else. So it's been fun. I, you know, when you get to do campaigns for like, you know, the Disney stuff, you know, Star Wars, you know, I've gotten, you know, seen myself in ads, you know, for Disney parks, and you know, I've gotten postcards from Disney store I'm on. It's pretty cool.
I guarantee too, your face is all over China.
Oh, 100%.
If we take a field trip to Beijing, I swear we're gonna like see your face on a urinal cake, on a bus. You're everywhere. It's crazy.
I've done some campaigns for some Chinese supplements, and I knew it was only going to be aired in China. And so there's an app that you could, my friend who's in advertising showed me it. You upload your face and it searches the internet for all the times you've been on the internet. So I was expecting a lot worse, but I did find a ton of knockoff Roosevelt ads, that I've never seen before. You know, they copy and paste the backgrounds and stuff like that. But yeah, it's totally me in a Roosevelt shirt.
So
that's some knockoff website for a Roosevelt shirt.
App is pretty much like the God's Eye software from the Fast and the Furious movies.
Yeah, pretty much. Missed a couple of my mugshots, so it's not actually 100% right. But
that's foosball. That's crazy. So. Can we say that maybe you're the reason that El Mantle is one of the most famous Roosevelt shirts to this day?
Yeah, I'll take credit 100%. Nothing to do with how cool the design was. It's all my face on my shirt.
Absolutely. I would agree. All right. Tony, why don't you tell us how you got started?
Gates, I think your most badass photo for Roosevelt's has to be you carrying the log in the Swanson shirt.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say that's my number one photo of you modeling for them. I really like that picture. Badass in that photo.
That was because sometimes like that was a shoot we did up in Port Jervis, New York. It was a combo. We were doing not the first Borland Flex, but the first big launch. You know, because the first launch was like a soft launch. I had two shirts. I did the shoots for that too down in Hoboken. But the second one where they launched like four designs, they kind of revamped the shirt a little bit. We did, an offsite shoot. And so it was a combination of that and a Christmas campaign. So we modeled a bunch of Christmas stuff. But, you know, so we were there all day. And so in the downtime, Julian, who, you know, he used to do most of the photography. Now he's tailored most of the shoots. But Julian's just like, would take me and be like, you know, just throw this shirt on and we'll go walking around and just like pick up a log and just fart around and, you know, see what we could find. And that's what that photo came from that.
So a little fun fact about Julian for the listeners over here. like Gates was saying, he was like the main guy that I had contact with when I was initially starting for doing all the photos. He would take all the pictures of us and everything. But he is absolutely incredible on a pool table. So if you check him out on Instagram, I think he's at Trickshot CEO. I think that's his name. I'm pretty sure. The stuff he does on a pool table is absolutely incredible. And it's, you could just sit there and just go down the rabbit hole of watching Julia videos. And it's like every video is in, he's wearing Roosevelt shirt and just doing the craziest tricks on a pool table. So, you know, just something to check out.
I've seen some of that on Instagram. Yeah, that is some pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, every now and again, Insider will post a video like, hey, look, I found this guy wearing a Roosevelt shirt on Instagram. Uh-huh. And like, dude, that's Yuli. And he's the head photographer. But yeah, he's got a big following. He's Instagram famous.
Yeah, no, he's definitely good. He's a super awesome guy.
So, Tony, how did you start modeling for Roosevelt?
I started just kind of by chance, honestly. So over the years, I've kind of built up a friendship with the guys down over there and with John. I remember meeting them down at Comic-Con back in like 2019, I think it was, New York Comic-Con. It's definitely before COVID. And I remember I was wearing the Stone Cold Steve Austin button down, the Stunner. And I was walking to the WWF like Legends table. And I remember Sergeant Slaughter was there. And it was just after the Monday Night Raw reunion had happened, where all the old timers came back and Stone Cold was back and Sergeant Slaughter was back. And I don't know, I forgot what anniversary it was for Raw, but they had all the legends over there. Sergeant Slaughter comes up to me while I'm just walking. He's like, hey, that's an awesome shirt. He's like, let me tell you something. We had the reunion last weekend. Stone Cold Steve Austin got me so pissed drunk that night. He's like, let's take a photo. Now, normally people are walking up to this guy asking him to take a photo and he's charging them $25 or whatever it is. He came and pointed me out because of the shirt I was wearing. And we took a photo. He got me in like a little headlock. I was actually wearing my championship belt too. You know, nerding out to the fullest. It just so happened to be that directly across from their table was the Roosevelt's table. Now, I was just kind of like, bought the shirt on a whim, seeing an ad or whatever. I wasn't in the insider group. I knew nothing about the brand. And Steve came up to me. He's like, hey, man, that's an awesome shirt. And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cool. He's like, that's my company over here. We're the Roosevelts. Went over to their booth and they were really promoting the Ghostbusters line at that point. So they had like the 3D stickers and they had like a couple posters and they were just giving out tons of free swag. And that's kind of how I met like him and John and all these guys and, you know, just kind of like formed like a friendship and just kept in touch with them and kept talking to them and talking to them. So fast forward a couple of years now, I'm just talking to John and they're coming out with the Batman line. And John knows like I'm a huge Batman fan. So they were coming up with the first line of the button downs, and he's showing me like the age of the bat and all the different covers, and he's kind of like picking my brain, like, what do you think about this one? What do you think about this one? Like, oh yeah, that's a cool one. That's definitely got to go on there. And he's like, yeah, you're a big Batman guy, and I'm like, yeah. He goes, we're gonna do some Batman flannels. You want to come down and do them? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So. Kind of went down there. He gave me a call. He's like, hey, we're doing it this day. Does this work for you? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I went down there with my wife and my son, who was just a newborn at the time. Went down to HQ, pulled up to the Newman Leather Factory. My wife looks at the building. She goes, where are we right now? And I was like, honestly, I have no idea, but let's go check it out. So the three of us go inside the building. We call up John. And like Gates was saying, originally the place was just scattered, like the photo room was like downstairs where you do the shoots. Their office was upstairs. You know, they were still, you know, smaller at that point. They didn't have the entire sixth floor like they do now, so things were just more spread out. So we go into the building and we're walking down the hallways, and it's just like I said, creepy hallways. Lights are flickering.
Did you see any homeless people?
I did not see any homeless people. In like the courtyard. I'm not saying that they definitely weren't there. I didn't see any at that point. But then we go onto the elevator, and I remember we get onto this tiny elevator, And it's me, my wife, John, and we have our son Mason with us, and he's in a stroller. And you can't even move in this elevator at this point. I'm like, I don't know if we should be on this elevator with our newborn baby over there, you know, kind of concerned for it. So we get in the elevator, we go up top, we go to their floor elevator, we walk into the HQ suite, and I was like, okay, now this is what I pictured it being like. Just tons of natural light coming in, windows everywhere, giant American flag hanging in the corner, you know, just all decorated very nicely. And everybody that you've seen on Insiders or doing the ads just in there and smiling faces, walking up to, hey, what's going on? Awesome to meet you. Thank you for being here. You know, and at this point, I'm just like a casual fan of the company. And I have these guys coming up to me like, hey, Tony, thanks for coming down. You know, we're so happy you're here. Can we get you anything? You want a sandwich? You want some beers? You want some water, some coffee, yada, yada. And yeah, that's just how I kind of got introduced into the world of modeling with these guys and really forming like a friendship with all of them.
You know, that could also be the beginning to a horror movie, right? This guy meets Sergeant Slaughter, meets this other guy. He's like, oh, we want you to come model for us. And you bring your whole family out to an old warehouse and you get in some rusty old elevator.
Just every time I'm in that elevator, I go through the my head, like, what do you do if it drops? You know, do you jump right before it hits the ground? Like, when the door opens, you're getting off. You want to make sure you get off really quick just so it doesn't drop and cut you in half. You know, it's definitely got that vibe to it.
So and I think you're right. Like, you have to jump before it hits the ground. Isn't that the move?
I think so. This way you don't just, like, swallow your kneecaps, right?
I actually think I looked it up once. It's actually not the best idea because if you time it wrong or something, maybe I think it's supposed to like cuddle in a ball on the floor. I don't know. I actually did look it up once.
Gates was so worried about it, he actually had to look it up.
Yeah, I mean, listen, well, at that point, you're done. You know, you're going to take any chance. What are you going to do? You're going to cuddle up in a ball on the floor? You're going to stand there? You're going to do whatever you want to do.
I'm definitely going to jump. I'm going to try to time it and jump it. That's my plan. I don't care what they say.
So I think what our listeners are going to take away from your story, Tony, is go to convention, have someone put you in a headlock. Next thing you know, you're on Pop Insider and you're famous. And yeah, that's all it takes to be a model for Roosevelt.
Yeah, just be a persistent pain in the ass. Be like, yo, when am I going to come down for a next shoot? What are you doing here?
Nice. Sure. Well, and you know, you guys each have amazing families. And we've now seen almost, I think, your family members are involved in family shoots now with you too, right?
Yeah. So that was the thing, too. When we originally went down there with my first shoot, like I said, my wife came down and my son came down. And Ulian was like, hey, when your son gets a little bit older, you know, we like to have you guys down for like a whole family shoot. And I'm like, all right, yeah, cool, whatever. Kind of forgot about it. And then like fast forward a year and a half, 2 years later, and they're like, hey, we're doing some Disney stuff. We're doing some Finding Nemo stuff. You guys want to come down for it? And we're like, yeah, sure. So I know Gates, the same thing with him and his family, you know. I still see their ads popping up for the Disney shoots on my Facebook. Even tonight, if you go scrolling on it, they're going to be popping up on mine.
Yeah, and in addition to that, I had to endure seeing Gates' epic vacation on Instagram and Facebook over the last... I feel like you were on vacation for like 3 weeks. It was probably only like 6 days. But it was every picture was like, look at this epic thing I'm doing today. And it was like,
it
I'm
was
just
a while.
Stuck here in Phoenix.
People started texting me like, did you move? Because you know, we actually went for, we were there for 10 days. So when the weeks overlap and it's like the next week's got, people think you're back and you're still posting. Like, what the fuck?
Now, I will say like, this time of year to travel outside of the East Coast is a beautiful thing, right? You guys just endured another long winter. And sometimes you just got to escape. You got to get the hell out.
One is to, when you're traveling with seven people and you're going somewhere, it's not necessarily easiest to get to. Number one, you might need more than a week because it's a travel day there, travel day back. And just the expense, you know, you're buying seven plane tickets. Every meal you're buying for seven people. My older two sons, you know, we're out of the country, so they're drinking. So every meal I'm buying for four people drinking. So, like, if we're going to do it upright and, you know, spend some time down there.
Yeah, I remember, like, the first time I went to Gates' house, and I'm just seeing his, he's introducing me to his family members. Like one by one, they're just like popping out of rooms. I'm like, when does it end? How many children do you have? What is going on?
Is this a boarding house? What is this?
His youngest one is like four and his oldest one's like 20. I'm like, holy cow, Gates. And then I'm just sitting there like, wow, I have a three-year-old and I'm losing my mind. This kid got, this guy's got like six kids.
Gates says the word is prolific.
And when I bought my house, it was like a two, it was like, technically it's a three bedroom house, but one of the bedrooms was like the living room, you know, like a den. And without expanding the footprint, really, just blowing through walls and into dormers, I turned it into like a five bedroom house. And like, you'll walk through a closet to get into a bedroom. It's like, it's like almost like in Weird Science, the guy that lives in the closet. Just find people like plumbers and stuff, you know, will come in to like find, you know, to do something and they get lost in my house. It's not even that big. I'm like, where am I going?
I'll say that you do have a beautiful house and you have an awesome whole backyard set up. You have a very nice back there. You have your little man shed going on back there. You got the pool back there, a whole open floor layout when you walk in.
Yeah, that's why
you got it nice.
So we knew the house was too small for the family, but it's hard to find. Yeah, you can always build a house, but you can't, you know, the property is always a property. So we fell in love with the piece of property and made it work for us.
Wow. Well, we just became an HGTV podcast here, guys.
I mean, it would be amazing. So tell us a little bit. So I imagine you guys have to have a pretty epic meet cute story. Like I've envisioned how you guys met. I fantasized about it. But I just need to hear from you guys. Like, how did it go down?
What we do, Gates? Defiant? Was that our first time hanging out in real life, or was it the meetup?
I think we met face-to-face at the meetup, but you were coming, or I was coming, you were going. So it was like, hey, how you doing? But we knew each other a little bit, because I guess you used to kind of, I don't know if you ever met them, like you rolled with like the crew that started like the Seven brand or whatever that's called. You guys were like kind of like a Facebook group of bullies or something, and you know. And
I've never been a fan.
But I don't really, you know, care what people think about me or anything like that. So I just put myself out there, and so I got to know Tony a little bit and some of those other guys. We used to chat back and forth. But I never really met any of them. And then we were all going to that Hoboken meetup, and that's when we first met face to face. Was just coming and going. So after that, we decided to get together at the Fine Brewery for like an official just hang.
Yeah, just Tony and Gates meet him. So I remember like my first like online conversation with Gates was when Roosevelt's used to put out the postcards. You guys remember the postcards?
Yep.
So they put out the postcards, but they did it like, what was it, like three or four different ones. So you would just get sent like a random one. They weren't necessarily the same postcard going out to like every insider. So I remember Gates had posted a photo of his postcards, and I happened to be on his postcard, and the one that I got, I wasn't on it. So I hit him up with a message. I'm like, hey, if you're going to get rid of that, like me and my family are on that. It was actually like one of the earlier photos that I took on insiders when my wife and I were wearing Chomp shirts and we found out that we were having a baby. So we're on a boat and we're holding up a baby Chomp shirt, you know, like kind of like our baby reveal kind of deal. He goes, yeah, sure. No problem. We'll send it over to you. I'm like, oh, thanks, man. And I was like, this is a really solid guy over here, you know? And then like, it's the same. We met up down at that Hoboken meetup down at the pier down there for like the first time.
And then Defiant, it was funny because it was, that was the first time we were getting together. And you actually reached out to me because your wife was out of town and you were home alone. And so you just like reached out to me to come hang. And we really only talked.
Next weekend.
We only talked for like a minute at the meetup and we barely know each other. And so I tell my wife, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm going to meet Tony at the bar.
She's like, who the fuck is Tony?
Yeah, I met him online. It's like,
this dude I met online. It's cool.
Yeah, it's like, what are you going on a date?
Our parents told us not to do growing up. Like, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to meet a man that I met on the internet at a bar.
I just tried to explain that to my mother, who was like, so you're traveling to South Carolina to meet a bunch of people on the internet that you met on the internet. And I'm like, yep, it's cool. Sorry.
Now, I think it's a lot, like, it's an easier pill to swallow nowadays. because of COVID. You know what I mean? Like, because of COVID and how everybody was isolated for so long that the only interactions a lot of people had were online. I mean, people weren't leaving their houses. People weren't going to work. People weren't doing anything. They built these online friendships and relationships. And yeah, it helped. Like, I feel like the insiders community grew a lot more. People got a lot closer because it's like, I have nothing else, but I have this strong support system that I met on the internet. And then it's okay, I've been talking to them for a year now. Like, I feel more comfortable going out there. Whereas before COVID, it was kind of still a little weird, you know?
And God damn it, if it's good enough and it works for Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks and now I've got mail, like, it's good enough for anybody.
Now, I will tell you guys, I had never considered traveling to go meet a shirt person before, but I had some serious FOMO. I think it was maybe 2 years ago, Gates and Tony were like doing their own little fun weekend meetup thing. You guys remember that? You were like going to a concert.
Going down to Asbury.
That was us introducing our wives to each other.
Oh my God.
So that's hey, it's like, no, honey,
this is my wife. This is my boyfriend, right?
Yeah. Honey, this is Gates. And she's like, oh, hi, Gates. Like, I've heard so much about you. Oh, you're the guy that my husband started dating on the internet, more or less. You guys are dressed exactly the same today to go to this Pepper concert down in Asbury Park. Oh, yes. Yes, we are. We're wearing Roosevelt shirts and they're actually called Asbury.
My wife was like, so like before the hand, she's like, what the fuck are you dragging me to?
It's going to be fine. Trust me. It's going to be fine.
I will say, though, Kylie has accepted you as part of our family. And I feel that Marissa has accepted me, too. So I think that we're good.
See, it is a love story.
Yeah. Our first time, like Gates was saying, was up in New York, actually closer to where I live. So Gates and I live about maybe like 20 minutes away from each other. I'm in New York and he's in New Jersey. But he has like a lot of ties to my area and where I'm from, just from talking back and forth, and know that he takes his bike. He's, you know, he's got his motorcycle. He rides it up to, you know, where I live. So he's familiar with like the bars and my town over here. So he's like, hey, let's meet up at this bar. I know it's close to you. I'm comfortable with it. And I'm like, yeah, sure. So I think at Gates, what was it? Like a Tuesday night that we met at a brewery. It was in the middle of the week, right?
Just two of us. First time really.
Yeah.
It goes to show you how good of a guy Tony is. Because I thought he'd be there for an hour. We were there for like 4 hours just like chatting about random shit.
And it was just me and Gates. Like, there's nobody else in this bar. There's literally no one else in the brewery. It was literally just the two of us. We're sitting there. It's like a weeknight. And there's no TVs there either. Yeah, nothing. It's literally just one-on-one company. Bartenders are giving us the look now. Like, guys, we want to leave. Man. Like,
you know,
you guys are still here.
This sounds a lot like my wife's and I, our first date, but we weren't at a bar. We were at a Thai food restaurant.
And they were kicking you out of there too?
Yep, we got kicked out.
Now, both of you guys, and I'm sure Ballgame would agree, both of you guys are on our bucket list of guys to meet. The closest I've gotten was the two of you taking a picture with the traveling shirt. I love the traveling shirt idea. And I think one or both of you might be drunk in that photo.
That was another concert we were at. And I just want to give major props to you for doing that and coming up with that idea. I know when that shirt was first dropped as a drop zone, people just shit on it. They're like, what the fuck is this hideous shirt?
And rightfully like, so.
I mean, but you know what? Ollie was like, you know what? Let's have some fun with this and let's see where this could go. And I think that it just took off. And you still have people like, hey, I want to get my hands on that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's just like, it's become a part of like Roosevelt's folklore at this point. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone just loves it.
It's pretty cool. It is a great idea from Ollie. And I got to see it again for the umpteenth time at the meetup in South Carolina. And I got to see Jesse's grandparents sign it at this meetup. And that was kind of a cool moment. Diana and Jesse have had it. Now the grandparents have signed it. And then my wife actually nudged me and she's like, am I able to sign that shirt? I'm like, you're at a meetup.
Absolutely.
You're wearing Roosevelt's. Yeah. And, you know, I was like, go ahead, go sign. So she got her John Hancock on there now too. And I'm like, you know, we come full circle. You know, a year and a half ago, she was really questioning my life's choices. You know, I'm just meeting a bunch of dudes on the internet. You know, I'm in group chats. I'm traveling to Seattle to see some of these guys. Ollie comes to town. We have our nice first date. Just different things happening. And she came down with me and kind of understood that, like, it's a family.
Yeah.
She gets it now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think she got it after, like, hearing us talk and podcasts and hearing me talk on the phone to people. But, like, she saw it firsthand. That was my hope. You know, she's not ready to jump feet first into the cult by any stretch. But I think now she doesn't question my life choices. At least this life choice. She might question other ones.
You know, that's, like, the awesome thing, though, about, like, the entire Rosamond's community. Like, nobody's going to tell your wife, you can't sign that because we don't know who you are. Everyone's going to be like, get in here, sign the shirt, and give us a hug. Let's go. I don't care if you want to jump in, like, waist deep, or you want to just dip your big toe into this water, we're going to accept you for who you are. Come on in. This is the family.
Yep. She was getting pulled into pictures. She was getting pulled into all kinds of stuff. And she just kept saying, these are just the nicest people. Yeah. These are just the nicest people. And not just the people that I'm really close with, but just everybody. She's like, oh my God, I just talked to this person. I just talked to this person. And like, she's very social and I don't have to, like, worry about her. She was off on her own meeting people, but it was fantastic. So.
I'm super jealous. I cannot make it down to that.
Yeah, I just see you weren't there. Both of you.
No, I was too busy with long care. It's important.
Yeah, but hats off to Gabe. You know, Stephen Gephardt and the whole Roosevelt's team that really kind of created that environment and really embraced the fans. They're so generous in terms of, you know, the giveaways. And if you've ever been to, like, an official meetup, like, they, you know, they'll pay for, like, an open bar and food.
Yep.
And they, you know, they basically throw, like, 10 weddings a year just for their, you know, their fans, just for buying shirts. And, you know, it all started with a small one in Hoboken, you know, a little bar in Hoboken. There was maybe like 30 people there, and it's grown so big since then. And it's really just, it's kind of like a takeoff of Geb's personality. If you ever got a chance to meet him, he's just the nicest, most generous person. And it's kind of like his personality is those meetups. Even if he's not there, it's like he's kind of like influenced it. It's really a cool thing. And he's an awesome guy.
100%. It just, it snowballs, right? Like, you do one kind thing for somebody, they're going to pass it, pay it on forward. And it's amazing to me. I was so nervous going to my first meetup. It was the D23 after party. And I knew Ollie was there, and Ollie's like, you got to come up. And I was like, oh, geez, I don't know. Oh, this is going to be okay. And I'm walking up to the bar, and Schreiner and DTH are on the outside. And they see me walking through the parking lot. They both just shout out my name like we're old friends. They jump off their bar stools, give me hugs. And I was like, oh, this is, you guys actually know who I am? That's weird. I mean, I know who you are because you guys are cool, but like, why do you know who I am? This is weird.
Love these guys.
And then I walk into the bar and I see tons of people in the back. And I was like, oh, I got a little anxiety. So I had my drink ticket. I'm like, I'm going to go get some liquid courage at the bar first before I go to the back. I go to the bar and Steve's there and just puts his hand on my back, which is like a bear paw, and grabs me. He's like, ball game, it's so good to see you. Put that ticket away. And he's just getting buckets of beer and cases of seltzers. I don't know why he would get seltzers.
He loves seltzers. He loves them.
The buckets of beer. And like, it was just from then on out, I was like, this is amazing. These people. And then when he was on our podcast, he used a quote and it really resonated. They didn't build a shirt company. They built a community company.
Yeah. I mean, this is the first clothing company that I've ever purchased from and been a part of where they had this whole online community. You know, people are going to call it a cult, people are going to call it whatever it is, but this is the first one that I've been a part of, and the only one still, where, yeah, I'm not sure I'm buying for the shirts that are awesome, but I'm a part of the online community for the people that are even better. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Yep. And I've avoided labels my whole life. I hated wearing shirts. I have labels. Like, I don't want you to fuck me. I want to be a billboard for that company. Now I'm literally a walking billboard. And I'm proud to wear, like, the Roosevelt shirt and stuff like that. But, you know, growing up, it's like, if you just said Gap, I'm like, I'm not wearing it. You know?
Right.
Wow, you were that guy, the no labeling, white and black t-shirts, right?
That was me.
Yeah, I knew that guy.
True, so, cool, for school Gates.
Yeah.
So I do want to ask you guys a question, because I'm sure you get this all the time when you wear your shirts. What is your response when a stranger comes up to you and asks you about your shirt or why you're wearing it or why you're twinning, you both have the same shirt? Like, what is your response to that when people call you out for your shirts?
Because Gates is amazing, and obviously so am I. That's why we have the same shirt on. What do you mean? She's awesome.
Yeah, no, I usually just point them to the website. Be like, oh, yeah, it's just a great company. Check them out, you know. And I usually will tell them, you know, I'll, you know, get the app open and try to, you know, click on a shirt that I modeled.
Like, Cooley Code. Cooley Code.
They're like, oh, that's you.
I'm like, yeah. Cooley Code.
No, that's
honestly
awesome.
I'll do the same thing, too. People ask about the shirt, and I'll be like, so the first thing that I'll do when somebody, like, either compliments me in a positive way or gives me, like, why are you wearing that? That shirt's, like, kind of too loud. I'll be like, the first thing I'll do is come over here and feel this. Feel the sleeve on this shirt. And they'll feel
it. I was going to say, feel what?
I mean,
now Tony's asking strangers to touch him. It's
you. No, but for real, I'd be like, come over here and, like, just feel the sleeve. I'll pull out, like, a part of my sleeve in my arm. Be like, just feel this fabric over here. Feel this material. And they'll feel it, and they'll be like, oh, wow, that's really nice. And I'm like, yeah, why do you think I'm wearing it right now? It feels amazing. The pattern's amazing. And then I'll be like, it's a small company based out of Hoboken, which you say Hoboken, where I'm from, people know where it is. So it's a mom and pop shop where I'm from. It's not like we're on the West Coast where it's like, what is that? It's like, oh, wait, this is in our backyard. Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah. Let me check that out. You know, and then I'll show them over to the website. I'll, you know, flip over the tag, have them scan the Cooley Code, show them over there, which actually it was down in, I took my family down to Disney like 2 months ago, and we were on the bus, and I was wearing, Mason and I were both wearing the matching Finding Nemo shirts, and somebody's like, oh, my husband loves Finding Nemo. Where'd you get that from? So I flipped it over, and, you know, they scanned the Cooley Code, and they're looking for Nemo, and this was really cool. They were looking on the site and they came across the toddler ones and they saw Mason on it. And it was like, wait, is that baby right there? I'm like, yeah, that's my boy. He's kind of a big deal. You know, that's my boy on a website. I know, you know, and it's just passing the word on from there.
So I have another question. So because you guys are modeling these shirts, you get to see shirts before they are released. And I don't know the timeline, but I would assume in most cases a great deal before they're released. Has there ever been a shirt that, like, you saw that you just went, holy shit, and it was really hard to keep that shirt a secret?
Yes. 100% yes. I mean, they come, for me personally, when the flannels dropped in general, the Borland flannels, that was my first time trying the new flannels. So when I wore the older flannels with the pockets in them, I know everybody loved the pockets. However, the fit on those were all over the place. They were very inconsistent. The material was comfortable, but some of the flannels fit well and other ones just didn't fit so great. So when these Borland ones came out, and when I first put those Batman ones on, and the way the stretch to them, the way they fit around my shoulders, the way they fit on my arms, like not wearing an undershirt underneath and feeling how comfortable they were on my skin. I was just like, wow, this is an incredible product. I want to just tell everybody know about it. Like, this great flannel's coming out, but it wasn't released yet, so I couldn't say anything.
How long did you have to wait?
I mean, they vary. Sometimes it'll be a couple of weeks. Sometimes it'll be like more than a month. You know, it's all about the timing of availability. You know, I don't want to speak on, you know, for Gates, but with me, you know, they'll ask me when I'm available to do a certain shoot or something, and we'll kind of work on a time frame. Be like, listen, this is when we're trying to get it out. Are you available this date? And I'll be like, yes or no. And if I'm not, it'll be closer to the date they're trying to get it out. You know?
Interesting. Very interesting. So,
typically, it's about 3 to 4 weeks, you know, because I've done, you know, a lot of them. It's usually about, maybe a little more than that. But yeah, within a month, within 6 weeks for sure. 6 weeks would be like a long time. Yeah. Like, well, I'm shooting like early September, or late August, I'll be shooting. No, I made it before Christmas, which will be dropping like early October. Orlin Flex, we shot that, I think, around late August. It was dropping in October. So it's usually around there.
I think that was my favorite shoot, Gates, when we did that Borderland Flex together.
Oh, yeah, that was the end.
When they rented out that cabin.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was like that shoot, just seeing the pictures from it, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah. That looked like so much fun.
Yeah, that was definitely my favorite shoot. So the cool thing about Roosevelt's and what they do, especially with their marketing and their advertising, when they're doing a shoot, like, they're going to travel. Like, they're not going to just try to, like, put up some kind of facade, like, oh, this is what we're doing. Like, no, if they call for a mountain shoot in the woods for their flannels, they're based out of Hoboken, New Jersey. They called me being like, hey, we're doing a Borderland shoot up in Windham, New York. Like, can you make it? And I'm like, no. No, I'm sorry. I would love to. Windham, New York is like one of my happy places. It's where my wife and I actually got married. Like, we got married at the top of the ski mountain. Like, Joe, like, I love that mountain. Love snowboarding there. It's beautiful. But it's 2 hours from me. So that's 3 hours from them. I had to work that night. I just couldn't make it work for me. So I had to pass it on to the next guy. But they were willing to travel that 3 hours, spend a weekend up in Windham, New York, you know, at the ski resort over there, to get the perfect shoot of the backdrops for their product. Like, they're not afraid to travel to make these shoots as awesome as the shirts that they're putting out there.
So luckily,
go ahead, Gates.
I was going to say, but luckily for them, they also have a great building. So there's a lot there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like they're doing more and more. So, you know, I benefited from, you know, building some stuff for them to make it look like they're somewhere else, you know?
So, nice. So Gates, you're there, you're in the spooky building, you're walking around, and they've got stuff laying everywhere, right? They've got...
I see a lot more than just what I'm modeling. I pretty much I see the prototypes, stuff. Yeah, I've seen stuff that they've been working on for 3 years that I haven't come out yet. It's funny, too, like, when they dropped the performance rooms, one of the knockoff brands had dropped a hoodie like a couple weeks earlier, and they were accusing Roosevelt of stealing their ideas. I'm like, I've been seeing those things at HQ for well over a year. You know, you go back to what Tony was saying too about the flannels and
brain
stuff. When they started out, they were not nearly the size they are now. They're really starting to become like a clothing company. They now have like seamstresses that work for them, that work on the fits. And, you know, they're tweaking the shoulders for this shirt. And they're, you know, it used to just be they come up with design, they order, you know, the small, medium, large, extra large, you know, from, you know, a broker. But now they're actually specifying, you know, shoulder length and sleeve length. And, they're listening to the feedback, and they're hiring people from FIT to come in, and they're really invested a lot. I mean, there's like 40 people that work at that place now. It's insane. When I first started modeling for them, it was like four people.
Wow. 10x.
Yeah.
They really are taking off, like Gates was saying. I know that somebody had posted on Insiders a screenshot of a reply where somebody made some kind of comment in regards to like a big and tall size. And SG commented like, oh, they're coming soon. Do you guys remember seeing that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember when I was down there for a shoot, listen, I'm a taller guy, you know? I have trouble with the length of shirts for me in general, especially sleeve length. I'm kind of thinner, but I'm long. So I will buy like an XL if it's a long sleeve for the length alone. But you know, the torso, the midsection is going to be baggy on me. When I was down there one time and I forgot what shoot I was doing, John was like, hey, we're going to be going towards big and tall stuff. And they actually had a guy over there like measuring, like, oh, you're a good candidate. Let me measure you, because they're so focused on their craft and their product. And they don't want to be so like one dimensional, like this is an XL, this is how we go. You know, it's like take it or leave it. Like, no, we're going to explore big and tall sizes. Hey, we're going to explore toddler sizes. We're going to send out samples to you guys. Oh, we're gonna even explore dog sizes. Like, they're trying to just perfect their craft and really, really just put out good product.
and they're still a small company, so it takes time to roll this stuff out. Like they like I said, there's stuff that I've seen that have been they've been talking about for 2 years now. They just still haven't been able to get it right. Sometimes maybe they jump the gun a little bit, want something maybe when they thought it was right, but it wasn't. But like those jackets and stuff, and you know, it's there's a lot that they think about and do before they launch something. And John gets the most defensive when people like bash a new product. He's like, you know, like been working on this forever, and
he gets he does.
I think when it comes to that though, the
I love that guy though.
The negative comments, the people, those people are definitely the minority. Unfortunately, it's their voice that kind of stands out because it's not the chorus of we love this, we're looking forward to it. It's that kind of that little nag that sticks out. So, I mean, I encourage them not to focus on that, but also not ignore it, not to say that it's not there. But the resounding positivity around what the new stuff that comes out is, I mean, it's 99.9% of who's out there. So this,
I mean, listen, they get it. They see the positive stuff. They see the negative stuff. They know there's always room for improvement. They're not sitting there with their blinders on saying we're putting out the best product. They're always trying to prove what they're doing.
And it shows.
I give them a lot of props for that. You know, I know that Steve and I know John works there. John works his ass off. Steve does too. You know, these guys are putting in more than your typical 40-hour work week, like the majority of us are doing, going out there, working that 9 to 5, 5 o'clock hits, going home, not thinking about work. These guys are living, breathing, eating, sleeping their product and trying to perfect it. They actually care about it.
And then they've got a 35,000 member fan club that they, you know, have to pay attention to. So, well, hey guys, we are at the part of the show. I know you guys have listened where we switch to our 5 random questions. Well, 4 random questions and one regular question that we always have. So I'm going to let James take it from here. James, what do you want to start with the same one or do you want to end with that one?
No, I'm going to start there. I mean, we got 2 East Coast guys. One's in Jersey, one's in New York. So I have a feeling this might go one way, but we'll see. So guys, we'll start with Gates first, and then we'll go to Tony on this one. What is your stance on pineapple on pizza?
Pineapple, I never thought it made sense until I actually had it and I got it. And I'm like, you know what? Not bad. You know, it's still not my go-to, but if, you know, people are eating and there's a lot of pineapple left, I'll grab a slice.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm for it. It's don't, you know, don't mock until you try it. It sounds horrible, but it does have its own place in the world for it.
So I'm going to say in New York and New Jersey, we have the best pizzerias and the best bagels too, but we have the best pizzerias. If Sober Tony's out there, I'm not going to go to a spot and order any kind of pineapple on pizza. I'm more of just like, give me the meats on a pie. You know what I mean? Like I want buffalo chicken or I want the chicken bacon ranch. Give me the meat on the pie at an awesome pizzeria. Talk to Tony at like 2 or 3 in the morning on like a Friday or Saturday night after I've had a couple in me.
That's the Tony I want to party with.
I want to have the Hawaiian pie from Domino's. Not going to lie. Give me the pineapple on the pizza with that garlic bread crust.
So I thought you guys might on the East Coast might be swinging the other way. So I wonder, I'm starting to wonder, most people we ask are open to this idea on pineapple. And a lot of people, Gates, share your stance that at first when they heard about it, it didn't make sense. And then they tried it because you have an open mind and you were like, I get it. It's not my go-to every time. But I'm starting to now wonder if this might be a generational thing.
You know, I think I heard too on one of your podcasts, someone said you got to have jalapenos on it, which I've never had before. So now I'm like,
Who said that?
You know, a little, sweet and spicy, you know?
We've said it multiple times. I have led with pineapple, jalapeno, and bacon, all 3 of those together.
Yep. Yeah. Need that.
Like that would improve the reputation of the pineapple.
I'll do that.
If that was a standard, I think it'd be a lot more popular.
I would definitely do that.
And if you're daring enough, and this is for my buddy 2 a.m. Tony, and you're getting that Domino's, get it with barbecue sauce instead of the red sauce. Try that.
Ooh.
Try that with bacon, jalapeno, pineapple, barbecue sauce.
You know what? I'm going to trust your judgment on there. Ever since the Tostitos from Swan.
Oh, yeah.
Buffalo sauce.
You do that?
I heard you guys did it, or I heard he did it, and he got you onto it.
Yep.
So obviously, I had to try it. So I love it, and I'm going to trust your judgment. I'm putting that barbecue sauce substitute on there, and I'm going to try that, too.
There you go. I mean, yeah. Swan, Patrick changed my life. That those Totino's pizza roll hack.
Yeah. Patrick, you changed mine, too. Just like, you know, you didn't directly mean to do it, but you changed mine as well, and I hope you're listening. You changed me, too.
And, you know, guys, I have never met anyone in my life more opinionated about food than Patrick Swan. And it is everything. Every type of food, he has an opinion on it.
So I got to South Carolina a day before he did on this trip. And I was texting him pictures of my brunch the first day I was there, my chicken and waffles, my biscuits and honey butter, my lunch that afternoon, my Bojangles. And he was not having it. He was pissed because he wasn't there. But you are right. Pat knows his food. And I would say, of all the recommendations and all the things he said, he's batting like 90% in my book. So you can trust him. All right. Question number two. Are you guys both Jets fans? Is that right?
No. Gates is a Giant fan.
Okay. Oh.
Gates is a Giant fan. I am the loser Jet fan, I will admit.
You're not a loser. It's just the Jets are.
Tony's one of the weird ones.
And unfortunately, my wife and my son are both Jet fans, too.
Okay, so we're going to start with Gates on this one for the Giants, and then for you, Tony, same question, but for the Jets. The Make-A-Wish Foundation grants you guys a wish, and you get to be GM for a day and make one move that actually sticks. What is the move you are making to make your team better?
Now, is this like of all time or is this current situation?
You play it how you see fit.
This is so tough. You know what?
Oh, it's not tough for me. Can I just say my...
Nope, you got to wait. You got to let Gates go.
You know what? I think you got to get rid of Daniel Jones. I hate to say it, but, you know, it's... He's our quarterback, but the ship has sailed. He's going to have a good year next year. Then he's going to get hurt the year after that, and then you're back at the beginning again. They should have – I loved their draft, but they should have found a way to either make a trade or something and start fresh with a new quarterback. So I like the guy, but, you know, it hasn't worked, and it's – you know, working on year six now. You got a abort mission at some point.
It's been 6 years?
Do you know that Daniel Jones listens to our podcast? No, I'm just kidding.
Awesome. I bring Eli out of retirement in place of him because I love that guy.
Eli,
he's actually gotten more fun in retirement than he was when he was with the team. He's hilarious.
Yeah, he has. He's got more in personality now. Before he was just like, just there. Like, yeah, you won. Yeah, you beat the Patriots twice. I love you for doing that because I hate the Patriots.
But he's
just like there. He definitely has gotten more fun now. I will agree with you on that.
He was the Iron Man in the NFL, the perfect body for quarterback.
He missed one start, right? To Geno Smith?
Yeah, he got benched. That was the only time he missed a start.
It kills me because, like, I hated the Manning brothers when they played in the NFL, but they're entertaining now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to see you guys on a football, on a Manning cast type thing. You guys should live stream and do commentary during football games. I think that would be amazing.
We're going to live stream the meetups and the chug-a-thongs and the karaoke's. That's where we're going to go.
Okay, Tony, you're GM of the Jets. You got your work cut out for you. What moves, past, present, future, are you making?
Well, as the GM, can we just say I'm not the GM? Just like I could do whatever I want with the Jets? Because as the GM, I can't do it.
Right,
but I would just 100% Woody sell the team. The Jets are not going to get better with the Johnson family owning it. That's it. GM does not have that power to tell the owner to sell it. But at this point, we're not getting anywhere with the Johnson family running this organization as the owners. We're not.
All right. So Woody, if you're listening, Sell the fucking team.
Sell the fucking team. I will say, though, this year, though, we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's not a rebuilding year this year? Is that what you're saying?
Can I just say this? I was at the last New York Jet home playoff game, which was 20 years ago in 2004 when they played the Colts. I was
Four score and 7 years ago.
I was there sitting on the 40-yard line about 13 rows back, and I paid $90 for my ticket for that playoff wild card game. Peyton Manning's rookie year, the Jets crushed him. I am an old man at this point.
Wow. Yeah. Now, Tony, I'm saying this as a friend. You are in an abusive relationship.
I know.
She is never going to love you. She is never going to be what you want her to be.
I know. I don't know if you guys have seen the pictures of my tavern on Insiders when I post down here. It's all jetted out. My entire basement bar is full of nothing but Jets memorabilia. If anybody were to break into my house, they would look at my basement bar and they'd be like, I don't want any of that crap. Why do I want a DeBrickashaw Ferguson signed jersey? Who's that bum? No one cares but a Jet fan.
Okay, Ollie, let's play a game.
All right.
Over under. Or just give me a number. How many quarterbacks for the New York Jets do you think Tony can name?
Oh, my God.
I'm going to say it's in the 30s. I'm going to say... I'm going to say 30.
Oh, my God. It's been bad.
So you can go over under on that one.
I'm
going 30.
I think he's going to be a little under. 30 is a lot. 30 is a lot.
We're not going to have him do it, though, right? Because...
Come on, Tony. Rattle them off for us.
We'll be here all
start
night.
Start rattling off. I mean, for me, it started with Vinny Testaverde. I saw Chad Pennington. I saw Mark Brunell. I saw Brett Favre. I saw Mark Sanchez. I saw Geno Smith. I saw... Hold on.
He's Googling.
No.
Was Neil O'Donnell there at one point?
No. Not Googling. So I saw Mark Brunell. I saw Geno Smith. I saw obviously Sam Darnold. I saw Zach Wilson. I've seen shit. He's fucking catching me right now. Not that too many beers and you're catching me. I remember like Boomer Esiason.
Yeah.
Ken O'Brien. Yeah. Yeah.
You're forgetting Mike fucking White.
Forgetting a lot right now. Yeah, Chris Streveler, Mike White. I mean, I saw highlights of obviously Joe Willie. No.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, that's 30.
That's 14. No. We're at 14, boys.
We'll be here all night. Yeah, another 16.
Okay. No. We'll cut it there. That's still pretty impressive. All right, Jets. All right, so next question, and you know this might be pretty important due to you know recent events throughout the world. In the event of an apocalypse, you can pick one animal sidekick to roam the wasteland of Earth with you after the apocalypse. Which animal are you going to choose?
Am I starting?
Sure. Go for it.
I just got a new dog and I fucking love her. So she's coming with me in the apocalypse.
What'd you get?
It's a shepherd mix. It's a charity big dog rescue my wife follows on Instagram. We've had dogs we had two dogs for a long time. And, you know, they, you know, lived a long life, passed away, you know, the end so hard. You know, it's like you never know when to say goodbye type thing. And so it's been like 5 years, but my now teenage daughter has been begging for 5 years to get a dog. And she's like, I'm going to high school next year. Like, I'm only going to be with her for 4 years. And so we finally gave in, found this dog through Big Dog Rescue on Instagram. The description of her personalities would sold my wife, like how gentle she was with kids and all this stuff. And I guess, so she applied for the application and she gets a phone call. And, you know, goes through the questions and she's like, so how many other people are being considered? And they're like, no, you're it. Like, we only call one person when we pick which family it's going to be. And this dog had like 1,000 likes on Instagram. So we didn't think we should have shot. But sure enough, we got picked for and the dog's just been great. It's like the friendliest dog in the world, like so great with like the little kids and every person. You know, like ball game. You walk into our house, she'll run up and, you know, licks you like she's your best friend, and it's just awesome. We were hesitant to get a new dog after being dogless for so long. It's like easy to pack up and go to the shore for the weekend or do this, and but no regrets. We've had her for a little over a month now, and it's been awesome. So I'm roaming the apocalypse with Lola.
Nice, I love it. All right, that's what you want from a dog too—that unconditional love, that enthusiasm. I like the face licks, the kisses. Bring it on.
Yep.
Okay, Tony, you've had time to think. What are you going with?
I mean, right off the bat, I thought of my dog too, but I thought of both of them. But my dog stories are not as cool as Gaines's, but my dogs are named after Jet players because of course they are.
Of course they are.
Is one DeBrickishaw?
No.
Sauce?
I can't believe I forgot this Jet quarterback when you put me on the spot and I was rattling off. But little Eric Decker and little Brandon Marshall.
Oh, nice.
And obviously, probably it's sad to say, but the most productive Jet quarterback that we have seen in the past 20 years, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh,
I don't know how I could forget
Fitz
him.
Magic. Fitzmagic.
This guy threw 31 touchdowns to Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, setting franchise history records right there. 1,000 yards each for these guys. A journeyman quarterback. Went 10-6, lost to the Buffalo Bills. Missed the playoffs, beat the Bills, and when they were in, we lost that game. We got shit on.
Two quick thoughts on all that. One, Brandon Marshall, the best smile in football history. That guy had an infectious smile.
Yeah.
Second,
and Eric Decker, according to his wife.
When my son, my youngest son, was quote unquote graduating from sixth grade and going to junior high, they do this like ceremony where all the parents show up. We do like a clap out when they're leaving school or whatever. And my oldest son's there with me. And we see this guy and he's a big guy. Like, that guy kind of looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I keep looking at him like, that is Ryan Fitzpatrick. I walk up to him. It's like, what's up, Ryan? If I find out he lives in the neighborhood across the street from my neighborhood and his kids are in the same class as my son was.
Well, shit.
Yeah. So that's my.
He never played out there, though, right?
Nope.
In his journey?
Nope.
He was never.
But
he was never on the Cardinals or anything.
He is enjoying life in beautiful Gilbert, Arizona.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Fear the beard.
There you go. So, okay, Ollie, I got to get your take on this one. What is your animal sidekick?
Cooper's Hawk.
Yeah.
Falconry, baby.
Yeah. I like it.
Eyes in the sky, something to bring me, you know, because let's face it, we're not finding big animals to eat. They're going to be bringing me rats and things like that to eat.
If I didn't say my dog, just because I'm so in love with her because I just got her, I would have went raccoon because I love raccoons. I've wanted a pet raccoon my whole life. I follow a bunch
trash
of
panda.
Yeah. I follow raccoons on Instagram like that. People have pet raccoons. She's so cool, but my wife is like totally against it.
So,
oh, but one God. Of these days, raccoons I'm going to find so a baby raccoon, man. And I'm going to train it.
So I get that, Gates, because like I do, my second animal, and I can't take it, but it would be my second choice would have been a red panda, and I do follow red pandas on Instagram because they're just awesome. I would just hang out with a red panda all
that
the time.
That thing is neat. Less than useless in the apocalypse,
but it would keep me so happy. Everybody I know is dead or nuked or whatever, zombified. Yeah. But I would have a red panda and I would just be fucking happy. So don't you shit on my happiness, Ollie.
Sorry. I take it back.
But the real animal I would choose, if I could choose any animal to bring with me, and I love the sentimental talk about the dogs. I have two dogs. I definitely wouldn't bring the two dogs I have now, but I would consider my other dog that has passed. But I'm taking a fucking hippopotamus, boys. Like, are you kidding me? Those things, world's deadliest animal. Don't fuck with me and my hippo.
Yeah, you're not fucking with a hippo. No.
Trying so to see us roll up.
So random.
Gates got his raccoon. I've got a hawk. Tony's got a dog. And
two fucking dogs.
Ball game shows someone with a hippo.
Fucking hippo.
God. Okay.
We need another question, James.
I picked the dogs because Brandon Marshall's big. He's a pit boxer and he gets vicious. Eric Decker, he's a little terrier. And honestly, when I sleep, he just kind of cuddles with me. So it keeps me like kind of comfortable.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
I love it. All right. What is your go to a diner? What's your go to breakfast order?
I'm Greek, so it's going to be a beef souvlaki breakfast, obviously.
Damn. All right.
Explain souvlaki to our listeners that don't know what that is.
It's, there's different kinds. You can get chicken souvlaki, and it's like chicken skewers on a stick. Or if you get like the traditional beef souvlaki, it's like that shaved beef. If you go to like a Greek restaurant or a Greek diner or a Greek fair, and you see like that giant hunk of meat that's kind of spinning on that little skewer and they're shaving the beef.
Yeah.
That's that beef souvlaki over there.
Love it. All right, Gates, what are you ordering?
See, it really depends on the situation. Breakfast is my favorite meal of the day, not just cause I'm like eating early, but like the possibilities breakfast brings. So, you know, a quick meal. It's my go-to is probably just the sausage, egg, and cheese on a bagel. If I'm really hungover, I'll go to this deli, Wilkes Delicatessen, that I grew up near, where I would get the bacon, sausage, egg, and cheese on a bagel.
Mm.
But if I'm going out to eat, I'm getting, if I see poached eggs, I'm getting something with a poached egg.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. My go-to is eggs, classic Eggs Benedict.
Oh, I love all types of Eggs Benedict.
Yeah. Eggs Benedict, solid.
Eggs Benedict has become so artisan these days, you know?
Oh, there's so many different versions.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so you get good seafood ones with like lobster chunks on it. There's so much good stuff.
So the thing about like you guys versus us, we have delis. And I've noticed that when you leave like the tri-state area, you don't get a deli anymore.
Right.
So I don't go to a diner. When I go to a diner, it's more of a sit down where I'm going to get that fancier breakfast. When I'm hungover after having that 2 a.m. Domino's pineapple pizza, I'm going to go to my deli and I'm going to get a bacon, egg, and cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup with a chicken cutlet on a roll. And that's going to soak up all the toxins from the night before.
So Tony, when in October, after we get absolutely destroyed drunk, that's our breakfast. You are taking me there.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We love it.
Hold hands and skip to the nearest deli together. All right.
I love it.
And we will eat it live on Facebook for Gates and Ballgame, who will be the only ones watching us.
But it's you're dead on. Like, so when I was in Boston, we didn't even have that in Boston, right? Like, you have like some corner shops, but you don't have the delis there. But we would travel to New York all the time to visit friends. And I love the freaking delis.
Yeah.
And it's not a deli like people out on the West Coast think of a deli. We're like, oh, you just go and they have like cold cuts and you order like a pound of meat and they wrap it up for you. Like, it's not that at all. And so when you get a chance to get out to the New York area, the Tri-State area, go to the delis, try them. They're phenomenal.
It's wild. Like, I've journeyed all over New York State, whether it was like for school when I was going to college or when I graduated and I was like bouncing around before I found like my forever job. Tri-State area, like, we have delis here. You know, I was a college kid up in Buffalo, New York, and I was hungover and I wanted a bacon, egg, and cheese, and I couldn't just go to like the deli at the corner and get that. I had to go to like a Denny's, and I was like, this is trash. Like, this is not good right now. Like, what is this?
Wow, you guys are truly spoiled there, because Denny's is an event here.
All right. And we're going to move on to the last question. And it's pretty simple, just straightforward. Like, what is your go-to karaoke song?
Gates? I don't really do karaoke much, so I think one of the few times I've done it, I did New York, New York, only because I was in Philadelphia, just to piss the crowd off.
Just to piss them off.
But I got to get like a go-to song, you know, like either, you know, it would be like Ice Ice Baby or Rapper's Delight, you know, some old school something that I know all the words to. I just don't do it enough.
Is there a song?
It's not my thing. I hear karaoke night, I'm like, I don't want to hear karaoke.
So okay, maybe not karaoke real band. Is there a song if you're alone in the car that comes on your music? Is there one that you just love to sing to and belt out?
I don't know. We'll just say Rapper's Delight whenever you hear that. You know, that's my new karaoke song. Next meetup, I'm doing Rapper's Delight. And Tony,
we got an exclusive here. Next meetup, the Gates attends. He is doing karaoke to Rapper's Delight.
Rapper's Delight. You need a couple guys with you. You just take a verse. You know,
there it goes.
Yes.
Pile all right, on. Tony. How about you?
I gotta go with some old school rock. Like some Kiss, I Was Made for Loving You.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta go with that. That'll be my little karaoke go-to.
Ali, do you have a song?
I got two. One is Cracklin' Rose, Neil Diamond.
That's a good one.
I don't know if I've shared this on here. I'm a huge Neil Diamond fan.
Nice.
And I don't know where it came from. My parents don't like Neil Diamond. None of my friends liked him. I picked up his Greatest Hits album when I was 16 and never looked back.
I can relate to this because I'm a big Neil Diamond fan too. And it the way it came out, I was a big Neil Young fan. And
okay.
For Christmas one year, I don't know if it was my brother or my wife, someone got me a bunch of Neil Diamond records because they confused them with Neil Young. And, you know, I knew the staples, but I didn't really get into them until then. So someone accidentally bought me a bunch of Neil Diamond records thinking it was Neil Young. And that's how I've been a fan of them ever since.
Yeah. You find out you're a real Neil Diamond fan when you're skipping over, Cracklin' Rose or Sweet Caroline. And you're listening to songs like Suleiman and Crunchy Granola Sweet and Shiloh and Holly Holy. You're like, this is the good stuff, man. And then Tony, you said Kiss. It actually made me think
of
my favorite Kiss song isn't a Kiss song. It's an Ace Frehley song and it's New York Groove.
Yep.
Singing that song in the car.
Yep.
That's a staple at the Yankee games.
Oh, really?
Giants games too. They played a lot.
So I'm also a Neil Diamond fan, and so I'm guessing like we got to take a page out of that. Was that 90s movie Saving Silverman? Do you guys remember that?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like diamonds.
Diamonds in the Rough. We may have to start our own Neil Diamond cover band.
Yeah, I'm in.
I mean,
and when Neil Diamond comes out with a guitar at the end of the movie, that's awesome.
Right? Fucking Neil Diamond. Who would have thought? Just bringing us closer together.
Love it. Saving Silverman. I love those like late 90s, early 2000s comedies that just don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
bonkers.
They were so good. Like just so off the wall. Like just shit show. You know? Like just like the American Pies. Roach. Yeah, Euro shit. Like these movies like Tom Green sitting there with like sausages tied to his fingers playing the piano. Like,
Debbie, would you like some sausage? Yeah. Debbie, would you like some sausage?
Just absolutely.
Yeah, the dumb, funny movie. Like, you know,
love them.
Yeah, I think those movies peaked with Euro Trip. I can't make it through that movie. I laugh my ass off so hard watching Euro Trip.
Yeah, everyone wants to be smart with movies. Now, this guy's got to be well-written. It doesn't have to be well-written. It just has to be dumb and funny.
Dumb and funny. I mean, a teenager standing in his kitchen having sex with an apple pie. There's nothing well-written about that, but everybody loved it.
You know, the new, I don't know if you guys got a chance to see it yet, the new Seinfeld movie, Unfrosted or Frosted.
Oh, the Pop-Tart one.
Yeah, the Pop-Tart one.
I watched it last night.
I thought it was great. You reminded me of that. It's just a dumb, funny movie. It's not going to win any Academy Award. It's, I was going to be like, what's the stupid Jerry Seinfeld? But I found it just like a perfect Sunday afternoon, rainy, nice. You don't got to pay much attention to it. And it was good. I thought it was awesome.
So I watched that movie last night and I had paused it to get something from the kitchen. And my wife walks in, she's like, what are you watching? And what I paused it on was I forget the yogurt guy's name. But you've got Jason Marsden playing Jack LaLanne. You've got the guy who invented the Schwinn bicycle is in there. Chef Boyardee is in there. And Jason Marsden's wearing these like, or James Marsden's wearing this like metal pants. They're like Mylar pants that are all puffed up. And she's like, what is this? I said, it's the Pop-Tart movie, obviously.
But Ollie, I can't believe you're not talking about who else is in that movie, because I watched part of it this weekend. I didn't watch the whole thing. But there's somebody that ties back to our podcast in that movie.
There is. So it's all, you know, obviously it's Kellogg and Post, right? The two big conglomerates of cereal. And you get to meet one of their mascots, which is Tony the Tiger. And he is portrayed by, Tony the Tiger is portrayed by Thurl Ravenscroft, and who is then portrayed by Hugh Grant, who was the best part of the whole damn movie, in my opinion. But how timely that we get a movie with someone portraying Thurl Ravenscroft.
Can't make it up. So, guys,
so can I ask you, Ollie, what's your go-to cereal?
As a kid, it was Captain Crunch. As an adult, it is just classic Frosted Flakes.
Okay.
Oh,
but what about your ball game?
As a child, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, for sure. Yeah. For sure, Cinnamon Toast. I could eat that all day, dry. Yeah. I could eat it with milk, just snack it out of a Ziploc. As an adult now, so when I go down and I kind of pick a fun cereal to eat, the one that I keep going back to is Corn Pops.
Corn Pops.
Gotta have my Pops.
I was never a big Corn Pops guy.
What was yours, Tony?
Oh, wasn't still Lay's. It's just Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, see, he's a postman. Got it.
The Fruity Pebbles. Like, so I remember even going to college, like, my mom would send me care packages, and there would always be boxes of Fruity Pebbles there.
Oh,
like, that's what he survives off of, like, Fruity Pebbles, ramen, and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and fluff, too. Peanut butter and fluff, or peanut butter and jelly.
Tony, do you drink coffee?
Yeah, too much.
Have you ever had Bones coffee?
Bones. No.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
So you need to get Bones Electric Unicorn. It is Fruity Pebble flavored coffee without sugar.
You never heard of this?
Yes, it is my favorite coffee.
Bones Electric Unicorn. All right, I gotta check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're unfortunately, I'm too big of a coffee guy. I mean, I don't know. You guys all know I'm involved, you know, law enforcement, crazy hours, working midnights, working overnights, working 3 to 11s, whatever, all over the place. Just a caffeinated, just animal, honestly, just nonstop coffee drinking.
No, I get that.
Try to drink coffee over the energy drinks.
Yep, I get it. My wife works overnight too, and at the hospital, and it's all coffee all the time.
Yeah. Gates, what's your cereal?
Growing up, you know, I was one of six kids. My pantry was full of any kind of cereal you could ever imagine. I used to just, you know, mix them and build a fort of cereal boxes around you. As an adult, the one thing I buy every year, and it drives my wife crazy, because we eat pretty healthy. Like, I'll get the Trader Joe's version of the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But the one thing I buy every year is the blueberry and the frankenberry every holiday.
Yes.
And my wife goes, she gets so mad at me because it's like such garbage, and, you know, the kids eat too much of it and they're pooping purple. I got to do it every year. Just, it brings me back to I just remember as a kid, whenever those would come out, I'd be so excited.
It's Vance pooping purple again.
Yeah. So I love cereal. And I think, Gates, you said you love breakfast, and I could eat breakfast any meal of the day and all the different choices. And I do think one of the things that helped me choose which college I was going to go to was the campus dining hall. And the college I chose had a wide variety of breakfast cereals in those self-serve, like, giant bins. And I got in trouble my freshman year because I would continually take gallon Ziploc bags in there and fill them with breakfast cereal. And not just one. I would just fill like five or six. I got my Corn Pops. I got my Trix. I got my Lucky Charms. I got my Frosted Flakes. I got my Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And they would come over.
This is not what the meal plan is for.
Excuse me. You can't do this. I'm like, yeah, I have a dining hall plan. I can. And they're like, No, the food actually can't. The rule was the food couldn't leave.
Oh, I was thinking ball game just came across the life hack.
So what I started to do then was I was like, okay, I'll stop doing it at the dispenser. And then I started grabbing bowls and just filling like 20 bowls of cereal and taking it down to a table and then transferring there. It's problem solved.
Ball game's going in with like a trench coat, just like filling up his entire trench. He's like the turtles on the loading screen app right now for fucking Roosevelt, just in the trench coats and the hats. Just sneaking in there like nobody sees me. It's like, no, we all see you, sir.
Yeah, I don't know if
we're going to revoke your dining card.
I don't know if you guys do this, but as an adult, right, I mostly eat cereal
guys,
now as a dessert. More like, 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, you want a snack. I find it to be like a perfect late night snack.
I think you're dead on there. That's when I eat it too now.
So what did we learn today? Neil Diamond rules. Booberry gives you purple poop. And
the delis in the tri-state area are phenomenal.
And cereal is the best late night snack.
And Gates is singing Rapper's Delight at the next meetup he attends.
Yeah, it's been fun.
I think this was a success.
Didn't even have to get to the stories of me running into Lady Gaga and Matt Damon and all those at the side. That'll be part two. I got some good stories there too.
Oh, that's for part two, sir.
That's for part two. So we would definitely love to have you guys back on. This was so much fun. We've chatted for almost 90 minutes, and it was effortless. It was effortless. It was fun. So if you guys want, we'd love to have you back anytime.
I was nervous coming on here. I'm not going to lie. I was like, I've never been on a podcast. I don't know what the fuck they're going to ask me. I don't know what we're going to talk about.
You know,
but
no one.
Minutes,
no one was more nervous than Steven coming on here. So
wait,
you did
isn't
great.
That funny?
That is real funny.
With him, though, he's like so humbled. You know what I mean? Like that's hilarious. Like we're all. You guys made a podcast, and we're on it because of him.
Yep. What? Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But he was like, I see him too, just like shitting his pants coming on.
Well,
here.
Next time we're doing it from Tony's basement, we'll be drinking. We'll get the video part going.
John, you think I should do this? I don't know.
Seriously. Yeah, yes. I like it. Live from Tony's Jet Dungeon.
Yeah, my Loser Jet Tavern. You put me on the spot, and I was freezing up on Jet Players right now. I was forgetting guys like, Michael Vick.
How
do I forget Michael? Boomer Esiason. Wait. I have a Boomer Esiason photo down here. I have a Michael Vick signed mini helmet down here. Just guys I didn't even rattle off.
So I think now I've been keeping tally. I think that gets you to 18 now, which is pretty good.
But even this season. Wait. Who'd we have this season? I forgot. Oh, Trevor Siemian. Tim Boyle. Wait, we just had Joe Flacco playing for us last year.
21.
Are you kidding me? Like, come on. I'm forgetting these guys.
He's at the 21. Tony's going to be up all night sending us messages.
Wait. We also had more Johnny men. I said Ryan Fitzpatrick. We had Josh McCown.
Yeah.
I think
Bryce.
Yeah, that was a part where
everybody had Josh McCown.
Rolling the credits. You got to play him out.
Ball game, you're going to have to cut him off. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Roll credits. Christ. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. This has been See Nobody Cares. Our special guests tonight were Gates Counselor and Tony Cooley. Thank you, boys. We loved having you on. Let's do it again. He's Ollie. I'm Ballgame. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for having us, guys. It's been a blast.